Blog Talk Radio.
Take a step, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell. Lift up my eyes, all God's children to stand. Hey, tell somebody, say you stand. Yeah, Lord, stand for holiness.
For holiness.
Oh.
And for righteousness.
And be counted,
and be counted among them that shall reign with Him.
Stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, I'd rather live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes, all of our children to stand, stand, everybody say it, you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Bible study
Amen. And what we're going to be doing on today, praise God, is we're going to be continuing our series in on loving God. This is where the Lord has me at. Amen. Loving God. Well, before I begin, I first want to pray, praise God, and give honor to God, and also to invite His Spirit into this place. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, we come before You boldly before Your throne. First, God, just acknowledging You for being who You are, for You are truly the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the everlasting Father. Lord, we want to invite Your Spirit in the midst of this Bible study, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that You open up the ears of those that they may hear, the eyes that they may see, and a heart to receive. Now as Your servant, O God, I yield before Your presence, Lord God, and I submit to Your will. Word my lips, O God, allow Your Spirit to penetrate through me and throughout the airways, O God, as You give us understanding. Give me wisdom, knowledge, O God, that I may speak what You say through me. Now as we go forth, we will continue to give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let the people of God say amen. Well, praise God, I'm liking this. I'm liking this Facebook Live. I'm liking this Blog Talk Radio Live. I'm liking this. I'm glad to be back on in my rightful place and doing God's will. Amen. A lot of us, we know that we're not here forever. So in the meantime, while we're here, it's important that we fulfill our God-given purpose of what God has called us here to do. Amen. And that's what I'm doing. I am a child of the Most High God. I love the Lord with all my heart. Praise God. I'm a servant. I'm sold out. Woo, woo. Amen. I'm just sold out, and I love the Lord so much. And, you know, we can use the word love all day long, but if we don't show that love in our actions, it's only mere words. Amen. So I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you have joined me at this time. This is actually October the 15th, 2022. Praise God. And here in Illinois, it's actually 1:19 p.m. So what time is it where you're at? Isn't it so awesome? All around the globe, you can be one place, one time. You can be somewhere where it's snowing, and you can be somewhere where the sun is shining. That's how awesome our God is. Amen. So a quick announcement. I want to get this announcement out. Praise God. I want to let you know that God has put on my heart this morning. Some of you, I sent it in your inbox. And that is to do something such as something for women, men who were caretakers of their moms before they passed. I don't have all the information. All I know is that the Lord downloaded it in my spirit, and it's something that He is doing. It's in the beginning stage, but all I'm doing right now is being obedient to the Father, and He is ordering my steps. So all I can tell you is God is up to something. Continue to follow me, and more will come. Amen. So let's get started. I am so excited on today with the Bible study. We're continuing our series on loving God. Loving God. You know, we can't talk too much about loving God. So right now, this is where the Lord has me at. Amen. We are loving God. So today I'm going to be focusing on a particular character, which is Peter. Praise God. Peter. And we all, some of you don't know, but Peter has a reputation in the Bible. Praise God. Let's just put it like that. Forgive me. Number one, as I said, I want to honor God and also want to honor my husband, Elder David Ambrose Shaw, my husband, my life partner. Praise God. Very supportive. Amen. We know we go through our ups and downs, but at the end of the day, we know that we have each other. Praise God. I want to also honor my bishop, who was my mentor, who was someone who was very instrumental in my foundation of being who I am today as far as in my calling and so forth. I had awesome teaching from that man. Woo! And many of you know you said on the Bishop trial, you know you were taught well. And I thank God for you, Bishop. Again, thank God for my husband, my friend who's been there, amen, that's he's like my number one supporter, always out there, you know, giving me an amen, amen, and whatever. He's always been there, and that's a blessing. And also those who have been listening, I notice we have people that's been chiming in, that's been hitting and listening through the archives. Thank you. I need your support. I appreciate your support. Amen. Thank you so much. But I'm hoping that this message, the message that I give, blesses you as it blesses me, as God allowed me to share with you. Amen. So let's get started. So today I'm going to talk about Peter. Amen. I'm going to talk about Peter. And there's a lot to be said about Peter. Amen. There's a lot that we have, throughout the years, have learned about Peter. What sticks with me, again, in also as we are still focusing on loving God, I want to look at Peter because Peter is someone that I believe that all of us can relate to, because I don't know about you, let's put our hands up. I know I could say this as a witness with pre-Peter, is that I have also denied Christ, and I have also walked away from Christ at one point in time in my walk with God. Amen. And how many of you can relate to that? You know, I believe I've been saved 30-plus years, and it hasn't always been smooth sailing, right? And there's been some times I had some fights with God. Oh, yeah. Let's keep it real. And sometimes I didn't like how things was going, and sometimes I felt like, you know, the pressure and the heat got a little too hot for me, that I had to go and, you know, I'm out of here. I'm going to go do things my way. Oh, my. How many of you know out there that that's the wrong move to make? Amen. But I think for most of us, we have to agree that we have to experience those things. Amen. Somebody can tell you all day long, stay with God, don't leave God, don't leave the Lord, stay in church, stay under the covering, stay, don't go, the evil one's out there waiting. But you know, it's kind of like even as your parents can give you instruction, but you, for some of us, we just have to find out on our own. So I'm going to talk about Peter. Before I set the stage about Peter and how he denied Christ three times, I want to talk about at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper is when Jesus, he actually predicted that his disciples will deny even ever knowing him. Now, you got to understand, Peter, who was like always right there with Jesus, right? So Peter has to speak up, and he assures Jesus, look, you can count on me. No, not me. Oh, no. Jesus, I got you. I got your back. Now, I don't know about all the rest of these guys, but Jesus, I'm there, man. I'm there. Now, forgive me, because like I said, my Bible study is going to be lame in terms. It's going to be in a way where it's all people, whether you're young, medium age, or old, you can relate to this message. So I'm going to be keeping it real as I break this down. So he would never deny. Peter said, I would never deny you, Jesus. And Jesus tells him exactly how and where his denial would take place. Not only would you deny me, I'm going to tell you how, and I'm going to tell you where. Now, for many of you, let's go there. This is in, actually, my scripture reading is Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. I hope you have your Bible. And it goes on to say that, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. And Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. From his own mouth, Peter said, I never will. And some of us, when we first got saved, had that Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I'm in this thing. I'm all, listen, it's me and God. I ain't never turning back. I ain't never walking away from God. I know I said that. And here it goes to say, truly I tell you, Jesus answered to him as he said, I'll never go. Jesus said, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times, Peter. Three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, watch it. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I would never disown you, Lord. And all the other disciples said the same. Everybody said the same thing. Now, this is Matthew. I paraphrase, but this is Matthew 26, verse 31 through 35. So after the supper, and many of you, you've seen that nice picture of Jesus with the picture of the disciples sitting around and Jesus in the middle and they're breaking bread. So after the supper, Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray. He had took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. He took them with him to pray. And he began to very sorrowful, and he was troubled. And the Bible says in Matthew 26, 37, 38, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed. Excuse me. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Now, you gotta try to see where Jesus was. He said, my soul is so overwhelmed over to death. His soul, it was so heavy. And he told them, stay here and keep watch with me. He told them, stay right here, just keep watching while I pray. Jesus left for a short time to pray and cry out to God. He cried out to God, and he actually said in Matthew 26 and 39, he said, my Father, if it is possible, hallelujah, if it is possible, it brings something to my heart because I feel like, and forgive me where I'm at, it's because I feel like, you know, when we lose loved ones, we want them forever. Stay with me forever. Don't leave me. So you say, if it's possible, let this person continue, if it's possible. I don't know what you have ever felt in your life where it has been so, you've been so sorrowful and it's been so heavy in your heart that it feels, the pain can't even be explained. But he said, Father, if it's possible, may this cup, I'm getting ready to drink this cup. The cup is before me, and I know I have to drink this cup. I know I have to endure what I'm getting ready to endure. But may this cup be taken from me. Is there any kind of way we can get around this? Is there any kind of way we can maybe go another direction? If it may, can you take this cup from me? Yet not as I will, but your will be done. Yeah, it would be my will not to go through the pain. It would be my will not to lose my loved one. It would be my will. I don't want it. I don't want it. It's going to hurt too bad. What Jesus was getting ready to endure, but he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Sometimes in our life, it's not our will, but it's God's will. And it's going to cost us some pain. It's going to cost us some struggles in life. But we still say we have to drink that cup. We got to go through. We got to endure what we have to endure. Because if it be your will, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, if it be your will that I endure what I'm going through, because I still have in my head that Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good, for them who love the Lord. So if I'm going through something, Lord, if I have to drink this cup, if I have to go through the persecution, if I have to go through the rejection, if I have to go through the pain, the abandonment, whatever you have for me, I know that it's going to work out for my good. I don't understand the whole plan that you have for me, Lord, but I know that it's going to work for my good and your good. So we see here that Jesus was sorrowful unto death. And Jesus left them for a short time, as it says, and he said, Lord, let thy will be done. Not my will, but your will. So when Jesus returned to Peter and the other disciples, what he found them sleeping. He said, not praying, but they were sleeping. And Jesus warned Peter that he especially needed to understand the danger of awaiting him. He warned him. He said in Matthew 26, verse 40 through 41, he said, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. All I needed you to do was watch and pray for 1 hour. He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Sometimes we have to pray so we don't fall into temptation. We don't have to wait for temptation to come. We just need to pray before temptation comes, because it will come. The spirit is willing. Here it says in the Bible, it says, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My spirit wants to do the right thing, but my flesh is weak. So Jesus went away 3 times to pray. He went away 3 times to pray, and each time asking God if he could be any other way. What a bargain. 3 times he went to pray and was asking God if it could be any other way, but understanding it would be as God ordained. No matter what, in the end, God gives his way. Because it's all about God. It's his will. It's not my will. It's not your will. It's God's will. God gets his way. And I think what makes it easier for us is that if we learn to just submit and get with the program. Because when we fight against God's will, or when we fight against what God is having for us to do, it's a struggle. But Jesus always say, not my will, but thy will be done. So we see here also in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 45 through 46, as he turned to disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Just as Jesus predicted, all his disciples scattered, even Peter, when Jesus was arrested. All of his disciples, when the pressure came, when the heat came, they all scattered. They scattered, even Peter. So I want to talk about Peter's denying Jesus 3 times. That's in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 74. You can also find that in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 66 through 72, and there's also 2 locations. It's interesting how this particular story are in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all gave an account of the betrayal, how Peter betrayed or denied Christ. Matthew, as I said, 26, 69 through 30, 74, Mark 14, verses 66 through 72, and Mark chapter 22, verses 55 through 62, and John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Now, as we continue, this story I'm talking to you about is going to be, it's coming from Matthew. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teacher of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed at a distance. Excuse me. And you got to understand, can you picture this? They have Jesus in chains, and they're taking him to the high priest. And Peter was the one that he followed, but he was at a distance. He was at a distance. Right up to the courtyard of the high priest, he was at a distance. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Peter was right there with Jesus, but he was a distance away from Jesus, and he was waiting to see what was going to happen. Now, while the Sanhedrin, according to the Bible, was falsely accusing Jesus, I mean, people was rising up all over the place. He did this. I remember he did this. You know, Jesus did a lot of miracles, and how many of you know that when you do good, the devil know how to turn it around and add to it and make it seem like it was something bad? You know, you doing something good, but the enemy going to make it bad. I remember seeing him. There was a person dead, and he put his hands on him. You know, that type of stuff. You know, so he had a lot of accusers standing up, raising up, talking about what he had done. So we see here also in the book of Matthew how, as they were falsely accusing, Peter watched the whole time. And he watched Jesus as everything that Jesus had said and he predicted was happening. He said, all of you all going to betray me. All of you going to deny me. Every one of you going to run. Even you, Peter. So what can we learn from the time? What can we learn from this story about Peter denying Jesus? Okay, we see Peter sitting at the courtyard, and a servant, one of the servant girls comes up to him. You, it's you were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So what Peter did was he feared recognition as a follower of Jesus. Some of us out here, we fear being recognized as being called a child of God. Some of you are undercover. I know what I'm talking about. Some of you are undercover where you will acknowledge God on Sunday, but not Monday through Saturday, I don't know the man. Some of you will take your little cross that you have, you keep your cross kind of like buried into your clothing, unseen, because you don't want people to know that you identify with Jesus on the cross. So we see Peter, he didn't want to be recognized as one of Jesus' followers. So Peter thought he could blend in. You know, how many of you know, good luck with that. Peter thought that he was able to, I'm just going to blend in and walk in with everybody else. He was trying to walk in with the guards, and he thought he could blend in the same with the guards who had just arrested Jesus. He thought he could blend in with the crowds that was cheering, arrest him, arrest him. So he may not have said arrest him, but he was right along with him, you know. I'm just going to blend in so they don't know that I'm one of Jesus' followers. I don't want to be seen. Because I don't want to, I'm thinking he's there. I don't want to be arrested. I don't want to be, you know, beaten. So he said, I'm just going to go along with the program. And for some of us, we look at to follow Jesus mean there's ridicule. People going to talk about you if they know you was one of them. For some of us, We don't want to be identified because we know that people going to shun us. Oh, he's one of them. She's one of them. She's one of those Bible thumpers. Yeah, I heard about you people, a bunch of hypocrites, You don't want to be identified, some of you, because what the persecution or what maybe some of the people know you perhaps as someone who's living a double life. Maybe if you don't want to be identified as walking with Christ because they seen what you were doing just before, just maybe a day or so before. And so you don't want to get it twisted. You want to make sure they know that you one of them. Ace, coon, boom, you know, hey, I'm one of you. I'm not one of them, you know. Peter had this issue. He had this issue. He was trying to blend in, but I don't care how much he blended in it, they were able to identify, well, you're one of those, aren't you one of those followers? How many times have we thought the same thing? I want to fit in with the group. How many of you out there have wanted to fit in with that group who might not be receptive? There are a lot of people that don't want nothing to do with Christianity. So you try to fit in with them because you know that you vow to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, but you don't want these people to alienate you. Maybe I'll even laugh it off. Somebody say, huh, aren't you one of those Christians? You laugh at, oh, man, no, not me. You know, you laugh it off, you know. The lesson we can take away from this and teach our children and others that we love so dearly is that if you're not comfortable in a group because they don't have the same belief you do, you probably shouldn't be in that group. If you're around somebody and they're not comfortable with who you are, it's possible that you're not supposed to be a part of that person's life. They're not supposed to be around you. Your actions and your conversations should convey your faith, not compromise. Did you hear what I said? Your actions, you hear what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Whatever my actions are and my conversations, it should be inclusive. It should be equal, the same to what my faith is. Not a compromise. You should not have to compromise your love for God, your walk with God, your relationship with God in order to fit in the group. Bam. If I have to compromise who I am, who I love, and what I represent, then I don't need to be a part of it. Because as we say, we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our heart, our soul, our strength, everything that's within us. For God we live and for God we die. And we have to hold true to this. And it doesn't matter what comes our way, what situation comes our way, we have to be in this thing all the way. The world hated Jesus as our godless. They hated Jesus and they will hate you. But Christians must be ready to face ridicule and persecution. We must be ready to face whatever persecution comes our way. This is one of the messages we can get from the story of Peter. Be ready to expect people not to like you. You can't expect that, oh, now you're following Christ and you love the Lord and, oh, the world is just going to embrace you. No. For who you are, for what you represent. They hate what's good inside of you that God put inside of you, just as they hated Jesus, who had no sin. So this is to be expected. Should we consider it a strange thing? It's not strange when you're under attack for living life for Christ. It's not a strange thing. This is to be expected. So in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, listen to what I'm going to read to you. It says, If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own, as it is. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours as well. John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20. It's easy to be bold and courageous for the Lord when I'm among Christian peers. I mean, think about it. When you're around other believers, iron sharpens iron. You're bold, you're courageous, but the true test of our faith is when we act the same in all circumstances. That's the test. When we don't change when other unbelievers or people that don't believe in God come around us. That's the true test. It's challenging to consider that we might be more concerned about offending others than we are offending Jesus. We're more concerned about offending other people. We're more concerned about how other people feel than how it makes our God feel. It's easy. It's easy to just fit in because I don't like the persecution and the challenge. So perhaps remembering his own time, the denial of Jesus, Peter then writes, and we know, and I hope I have time to show how Jesus reinstated him, but Peter later writes, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Peter wrote this after he denied Christ. Look it up, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Peter wrote after he denied Christ, he said, but even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope. And people will ask you, well, why do you believe there's a God? Why? Why do you continue serving God when you are struggling? Why are you continuing to serve God when you just lost your mother? You lost your father? Why do you continue this? And we bring forth the word of God that tells us where our hope comes from. Because our hope is not based on this world. Our hope is not even based on our emotions, because emotions will come and go. They will come and go. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason. Tell me the reason. But do this with gentleness and respect. Don't ever feel that you have to fight, argue, or defend in a harsh way why you believe what you believe. If you don't believe, according to the word of God, of same-sex marriage, you don't have to go out there and go into an argument and fight and fuss and degrade yourself or degrade the other person. Because God loves them also, even though he don't love the actions and the decisions that they are making, but we can hold true to what the Bible said. It's not what I said. It's what the Bible said, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. And I don't have to compromise my belief, what God said to be true, in order to fit in your program. I don't have to compromise what God says to be true to be a part of your social group or gathering. Amen? So here we see Peter saying, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. Hello, somebody. What did I just say to you? What I said to you is people going to lie on you. They're going to lie on you. They're going to lie on you. I've had people lie on me, and I wanted to go chase the lie. I wanted to go and find, and I wanted to go and make things right, tell the truth. No, this is what happened. But God says, no, you know your conscience. You know what your God knows of what you did and what you said. You don't have to go chase the lie. Because what happens is God in his time will bring them to a place of ashamed because they know what they were doing was wrong against you, child of God. Keep your behavior. Keep good behavior. Don't be malicious. Don't try to get back. Vengeance is the Lord. You don't have to go and get back and try to do evil unto evil because that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible doesn't teach us to go fight fire with fire. Amen? They will be ashamed of the slander as they slandered Jesus and they lied on Jesus. What can we learn from the second time Peter denied Christ? He did it second time, and that was in Matthew 26, verse 71 through 72. Then Peter went out to the gateway where another serving girl saw him and said to Peter, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. You were one of them. I remember he denied it with an oath. He made an oath. I don't know the man. So sometimes we become complacent with Christians and pride. As Christians, we become complacent. We have pride. Pride can make us arrogant. Be careful for that. Be careful for that. Pride can make us arrogant, too reliant on our own capability. We think that, oh, we can do this on our own. Because a lot of us have some really awesome gifts, okay? And when we become too reliant upon our own capabilities, then if we resist, we then fall into sin. We let down our spiritual guard. Jesus warned Peter. He warned Peter. He was going to be tempted to deny him. You're going to deny me, Peter. But Peter didn't take it to heart. Let me tell you what the Bible says. This Bible is true. This Bible is true from the beginning to the end. If God said it, you can count on it. It's going to happen. Amen? So we see here that the refusal means certain death. Countless of the faithful choose to meet Jesus face to face rather than deny their Christ, their Savior. When we refuse to believe what God says about us, we got to learn that when God says something, it will come to pass. Peter was actually watching them ridicule Jesus. He watched them beat. Oh, my God. Peter watched them beat Jesus, and he knew what his fate was going to be. But he swore that he never knew him. He saw what Jesus was going through, and he still said, I never knew him. Peter had forgotten Jesus' own words. Peter had forgot his own words. But everyone who denies me on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. That's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. When you deny Jesus on earth, Jesus will deny you before his Father. Don't deny Christ. As long as you have breath in your body, you got time right now to turn and get it right. Every one of us have an opportunity to turn around and to get our life right back with Christ. Peter was watching, and he saw. You got to see this. Peter saw them beating his Messiah, his friend. But yet, when he was asked, do you know the man? He denied, I never knew him. We can't become overconfident in our faith. Every Christian leader, every believer who have ever fallen to sin, if you can relate, put your hand up, because I have fallen into sin. Every Christian leader, believer, who have ever fallen into sin, arrogantly thought Satan couldn't reach them. Many of us who've walked away from God, we walked away and we felt that we had it in the bag. Nah, I'm good. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm good. Knowing that we didn't have the covering, knowing that we had walked away from God, did not have the relationship that we should have had, but we walked away thinking that we were going to be okay and Satan wasn't going to touch us. But as Peter discovered later on, when Jesus said, stay alert, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking around, seeing now you someone that's no longer, you're not praying, you're not studying your word, you're not doing what God told you to do. So he's looking around and he's peeking you out and he see that you are a lone ranger. You're out here by yourself. You have no covering. You ain't talking to God. You ain't in relationship. You're not fellowshipping with other believers. And it's like, got one. And he sends his little imps your way. And the temptation begins. So what could we learn about Peter when he denied Christ the third time? In Matthew 26, verse 73 through 75, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent. Listen, you know when you've been praying and hanging out with God, you even sound like one of them. You sound like one of the anointed ones. You sound like one that has, something different about you. And Peter thought that he can just like fit in, but they began to watch him and then hear him. Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Do you really think that you can spend so much time with Jesus? You've been spending time with Jesus, and did you really think that because you are out there at the bar or at the club or wherever you are at, or you among the unbelievers, did you really think that they wouldn't know you from your sound? You can't spend time with Jesus and not start looking like him. You cannot spend time with Jesus and not start sounding like him. I'm just saying. So they sure, you're one of them. And then he began to call down curses. Now, Peter, again, I'm upset now. Listen, you so-and-so, I told you. Now, you know, they already said you sound like Jesus. You sound like Jesus. Now you're going to show that you're not like Jesus, because now you're going to start cursing. Now you want to start sounding like them, cursing and swearing and going on. I don't know the man. Whoopity whoop, whoop, whoop. And immediately, the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus he had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me. Three times. That rooster didn't crow on the first time. It didn't crow on the second time. It crowed. Soon as he denied Christ for the third time, the rooster crowed. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter was a first fisherman before becoming Jesus. He was a fisherman. Disciples, and he had probably had crew, they had all kind of times with Jesus. with fear and so much going on in their heart, the old Peter started swearing, he started cussing, and he started denying the man. He didn't even say the name Jesus. He said, I don't know the man. Peter was that man, as I said, you know, those fishers out there, they probably had all kind of languages that they were speaking out there, you know, cussing and whatever. That was an old man. But when they had to say whether he knew Jesus, he wouldn't even say the man's name. He just said, I don't know the man. He didn't say, I don't know Jesus. He said, I don't know the man. In times of worry and anger, our self, our old self, can emerge in words and actions we thought we had buried. It rises up and overtakes our new self in Christ. So there are times when you and I both, we know that something that we thought we buried and that was under the blood and we were delivered from, it comes back. And it hurts us because we realize that I need the Lord. I need the Lord. And I am so undone. I am so undone. And without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I can turn back into that monster that he delivered me from. Conviction is heart-wrenching, but it also is a part of maturing as a believer. We have to develop a conviction in our heart when we know that we know that we know that in our heart, I'm not where I should be. Yes, I can say I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I should be as well. I know that God has changed me. You know God has changed you. But you know in your heart of hearts that there's more and that you could be in a different place with God if we just surrender. Not my will, but God's will be done. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, and it says that however is that the way of life you learn when you heard about Christ, and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupt by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So even though Peter denied Christ, he gives him a second chance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you out there can say that yes, 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 you denied Christ, but he gave you a second chance, and for some of us a third chance and fourth chance. He has given you another chance. Peter underestimated his own weakness and even his cowardness. He boasted to Jesus, warning instead, I will be here, Lord. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you, Lord. So as we are growing in this Christian faith, it takes a lifetime of studying our Bible. We always study. I don't know, from the beginning of my time of being saved, there's so much to learn in the Word of God. I have not arrived. No one has ever arrived. I don't care where you fit in a five-fold ministry of being a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, an evangelist, a prophet. I don't care whether you just someone who sings in a choir or you just someone new coming in. This book will forever continue teaching you throughout your life. It's always something new to learn. We will never, ever arrive. Amen? We must spend time in prayer. We must spend time watching the signs of the enemy because he's always setting up a booby trap for you to fall in. It's like a, you have a, how many drivers out there? Don't you know when you're driving your car and you're going down that smooth road, all of a sudden it's a big pit hole, a big pothole? You're driving, everything's going smooth, and all of a sudden you didn't even see it coming. It's sitting out there, and it's boom, a big pothole. Where'd that come from? I take that as the same as with the enemy. You going on your way, everything's moving all well, and all of a sudden a pothole. But here's what we can do. We can do what Jesus tried to tell the disciples to do, and that is to watch and pray. If we continue to watch and pray, we will have that eagle eye. We will have that spiritual eye to know that the enemy is trying to set me up. And I'm not going down that road. I'm going to go around. Understand? Because we're forever in a spiritual warfare. The enemy does not sleep. He does not sleep. He's up all overtime, working overtime, seeing when you wake up what he can do to knock you off your point, your direction that God has you on. So even with his failure, even with Peter's failure, Jesus chose Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. Come on, somebody. In spite of, do you know Peter was the one that Jesus said he's going to build his rock? Jesus chose Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost, where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and the first church was birthed. Don't tell me God ain't a good God. He took the one who denied him and he made him the preacher on the day of Pentecost. And this is when, this is history, this is when the first church was birthed. We're blessed with two epistles, first epistle and second. That's First Peter and Second Peter. That's Peter providing that God can use every one of us. God can use you in the midst of anything you have ever done. There's nothing that you have ever done in your life that God cannot forgive you of. It calls repentance. We must come to a place of repentance. Repentance. What is repentance, Diane? What is repentance, Lady D? Repentance is when I have a heart of turning my heart over to God, first acknowledging, confessing my sin. Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, I did it. I'm not looking for no excuse. Lord, I'm guilty. I first have to acknowledge. That's the first thing. I acknowledge that I was wrong. I did it. I did it. I did it. Go before the judge. I did it. I did it. He is the ultimate judge. I'm guilty. Well, you don't, whether you say you're guilty or not, God already knows you're guilty. He's just waiting for you to open up your mouth and confess that thing, because the devil going to keep blackmailing you. So you say, no, you're not going to keep blackmailing me. You're not going to continue to give me condemnation. I'm going to confess this thing. I'm going to be transparent before my God, and I'm going to speak it out. And then from this point on, then I'm going to turn. I'm going to do a U-turn. What is a U-turn? You mean, you know, you're driving a car and I'm going down one way. I'm going this way. It's the wrong way. So for me to get back on the right road and the right track, I got to turn around. I got to do a U-turn. And I got to go in the right direction. It's the wrong direction when you fall in the world, when you're allowing the devil to use you. But it's the right direction when you do that U-turn and you begin to go in the direction of God. You begin to have that relationship with the Lord so he can begin to teach you to pray, fast. And he can teach you how to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And you can love your neighbor as yourself. These are the things that God wants you and I to have, to follow those two commandments. So what are we to learn? We are to learn that it's not over until God says it's over. Peter had to learn that because when Jesus came back, he told him three times, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed. Hallelujah. Feed them. Because Peter, you went through some things. Now I want you to take, and this is what God's saying to us. Continue to reach out to souls. Continue to preach the word. Continue to be his disciple. Preach the word. Save the souls. Do the will of God. This is how we make it right. This is how I know how to make it right with God, because, Lord, too much is given, much is required. I have much sin. How do I make it right? I continue to do his will. I continue to wake up every morning. I continue to believe, great day to be alive. I continue to love my God, love my husband, love my family. Love, love, love. Love is the key. Love is the key. If I love you, I can keep all the commandments. Love, love, love. If I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I'm not going to have this envy against you. Love is the key, brothers and sisters. And as I end in prayer, I want you to know that God is a God of a second chance. I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of you out there, you feel that because you did X, Y, and Z, it's over. I'm here to tell you as a witness before God, it's not over. It's not over. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this message. Thank you for this message of repentance. Thank you for this message of being a God of a second chance. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, someone who's listening by the way of the airwaves, whether it be Blog Talk, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, wherever they're listening, Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you send your ministering angels to where they are. I ask, oh God, that you put your arms around them. Hold them, Lord God. Lord God, it's been hard in their lives, but, oh, Lord, I know, Lord, that you have plans. You have plans. Take away the pain, Lord, that they're feeling in their body and in their mind. Heal their emotions, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord God, as we depart from this time of fellowship, but not from your presence, I pray, Lord God, that you keep us and you be with us the remaining of the day. Put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe. Keep us from the evil one, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my brothers and my sisters and all those that are listening right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You have no weapon that's formed that will prosper. Lord, we thank you. We'll continue to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Go in peace. Thank you for following me. Amen. We will return back here on Facebook. Praise God. And we will continue our time together. Each and every day, as the Lord say, I am walking with God. I'm letting him order my steps. So at this time, I'm coming daily, 1 p.m. I would say that is 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 12 o'clock Mountain, 1 o'clock Central, and 2 o'clock Eastern. May the Lord be with you. God bless you, and Maranatha.